everyone from each of the 24 countries tuning in, and welcome to the EdTech Podcast. In this episode, we talk to primary school teacher and computing coordinator Tolu Oyinola about Pyonki and Scratch, whether Minecraft is an infuriating fad or an awesome learning platform, why knowing how to code is good for your career as an educator, and why it's okay for your students to know more than you about almost everything to do with computing. But before we begin, some very exciting news. The EdTech Podcast this week was chosen by iTunes as a new and noteworthy podcast. This in podcasting is the holy grail, so thank you for listening, sharing, and generally being amazing. It makes this exciting journey of who knows where it will end even more fun. And if you enjoy the podcast and would like to leave a review and rating on iTunes, that would be absolutely amazing, and I'd be eternally grateful. So on with the show.
My name is Tolu Oyinola, and I'm the computing coordinator at Lauriston School.
Awesome. And what does that mean on a kind of day-to-day level?
Day-to-day level, it just means that I oversee the teaching and learning of computing and coding and ICT-based learning in the school, really.
Okay. And then in terms of sort of that assisting teaching in the school, what do you say are the most successful initiatives that you have here and some of the ways that you keep on top of technology as a way of enhancing learning?
I'd imagine some of the most successful things we've done in school is our use of different softwares to help us with our coding, such as Pyonki, which is like an alternative version of Scratch, and which has allowed children to use the iPads to code, which iPads tend to be a lot more reliable in our school. And the kids have really taken up and have been very enthusiastic about it.
And using those iPads, are those owned by the school or are they
BYOD? Yeah, they're owned by the school. We've got two key apps we use for different year groups or different phases. Key Stage 2 tend to use Pyonki, and Key Stage 1 use Scratch Junior.
Okay, and how about things like Raspberry Pi?
Raspberry Pi, that's definitely because like computing is fairly new in schools, and we're still in the early stages of just trying to get to grips with it, because I know that is a biggie for a lot of teachers, including myself even, how to best teach it, use it and teach it. I can definitely see in the years going on that we use Raspberry Pi, because I've seen some of the things it can do, and it does look incredible.
So your role is also as a teacher.
Yeah.
So how did you come to take on this extra role of coordinating the technology side of things?
To be really honest, it's more like I was the only one that can really do it confidently in terms of coding. And it's a skill set which has really benefited me, because it's now my role, my big role now, is really trying to help teachers in the school as much as possible to build up their confidence.
Yeah.
And again, teach computing in ways that will help them and help the children.
And how do you go about that?
So one of the things I've done on several occasions is that I team teach with other teachers when they're doing computing. So I might tag along and join in the lessons with them and show them how I might go about teaching the lesson and some of the pitfalls that I face, and even look for advice from them even what would work best in any given class. So it's a case of just sharing practice, talking about it, and learning from mistakes.
How did you also have an experience in coding in the first place?
Yeah, it's more self-taught. It's one of those things where I knew it was coming in terms of into the curriculum. And it's one of those things where you're looking to it to develop your knowledge, but it is quite addictive as well, because it's like, wow, I'm actually creating something. And then you begin to experiment with different things. And I think one of the reasons why coding is so fun, really, is the fact that kids, it's self-motivating. Kids want to do it. Kids want to compute. They want to create their own games or levels or design their own characters. And that kind of enthusiasm, in a way, it makes it easy for teachers to teach it.
You mentioned the students, that the children are really into it. Have you had any level of resistance from other teachers or from parents? Have you got any advice for others in your situation who have to go on that journey as well?
Yeah. I can only say that, like, because the children are so passionate about it, and so many of them probably doing it at home already, it's just an easy way to teach. And yes, definitely, the kids will probably know more than you. And that's okay as well. It's one of the things that I love about computing. There'll be children who say, well, you can do this instead. And it's like, almost like it levels the playing field.
You get the benefit out of it as well.
Definitely.
The other thing I was going to ask for anyone else that's listening and wants to pick up some ideas from this, where do you get your knowledge from on keeping up with these things? Is it website or is it speaking to other people, learning trust?
I'm very fortunate because the Hackney Learning Trust, which is a body that sort of aids schools with whether it's professional development or resources or things like that, they've got a session where like coordinates such as myself will go every half term to be up to date, to be kept up to date or to be further educated on the newest things or good practice. So that's been absolutely essential for me and it's been amazing because it's really allowed me, it's boosted my confidence and hopefully I'll be able to share that, those new ideas and that enthusiasm I have as well with teaching stuff.
So the Lauriston is not an academy, is that right?
No.
And obviously the Learning Trust, we spoke about that. I spoke about that with Jeremy in terms of what their future is. I mean, what are your hopes in terms of continuing that relationship?
I really hope that continues going on and not just for lead teachers, but for other staff as well. I think just being in a forum where people can share ideas or talk about the difficulties they faced, it's just so, it's so important and so powerful.
So we mentioned coding before, the learning coding, use those platforms you were mentioning. What specifically do you do in terms of activities? So I think you mentioned creating characters and that kind of thing. What's the kind of average lesson plan in that way?
Oh, good question. In my class, year three, we had to, our first task was to create an animation. Actually, up until that point, I've made games, but I've never made an animation before. So I actually had to learn that quick tips here and there. And we're also quite fortunate because I have a scheme of work, which has like lesson plans and some quick, like 1 minute tips for teachers, for them to know basic skills.
Okay, brilliant. And before we started recording, you mentioned that you used to go to Hackney Community College.
I did.
So that's the full raft because we've had principal of Hackney Community College speak. We've had Jeremy from the Learning Trust. Now we're having you.
We've got Tolly. Just Tolly.
Yeah. All the superstars of Hackney education. So what did you study at Hackney Community College and how did you get to your point here?
Hackney Community College. Wow. I love Hackney Community College. Yeah. I did like 5 A-levels. So I just studied English Literature and Language. I studied Law. I studied Media Studies. I studied Sociology and I studied Psychology. And yeah, it's a brilliant building, great learning facilities, really good staff. And it's just a great learning environment.
And now when you're sort of teaching the primary school children and you're getting them excited about coding, etc., what do you see their aspirations are? I mean, are they excited about going into worlds that are enabled through digital skills and that kind of thing?
That's a very good point because in a way, that's one of the things I'm really excited about is that I have to, as a practitioner, open their eyes to see the application of computing in real world, because one of the things that I want to do one day in the future, probably next year even, is the idea of coding for robots. Like you can actually see, they can literally see their code have an effect on like a model. And then what they say, the robot repeats it or might track their movements.
Yeah.
And that, I could just imagine kids going, whoa! Yeah, but they really get to see that it's built in everywhere, from traffic lights to how we organize like the register. It is there, and just seeing the practical benefits of it would just be really good, really encouraging.
So that's really exciting because in the interview with the CEO of Here East, so Here East is the digital creative space in the Olympic Park in what was the former broadcasting center. And they are having the UCL Institute of Robotics move in there.
Okay.
And they're looking to connect with local schools. So it might be a good
definitely. I would love to take part in that. Okay. Totally. I've actually done some, is it with UCL, the university itself?
I believe so, yeah.
Because I've done some projects with UCL, I think just last summer actually, where it was called the Spark Festival, I think. And again, that was about engaging with the community and getting them excited about engineering and so I'd love to be part of that.
Do you go to any other events like that which are about robotics or
makerspaces? I volunteered for the Barclays Coder Dojo. Okay. And that was a really good experience because I get to see how, again, corporations are helping children to code and what they're doing, and just seeing really, really enthusiastic children and just just spending hours just coding, seeing what they produce is just really exciting. It's amazing.
So what was the format of that? Was that based at their...
it was based at the Canary Wharf building.
And so they had lots of coding experts?
Yes, definitely. I'm actually friends with one of the person who actually ran it. So what happened was, I think it started at 10 or 9, I think it's probably 10, literally from 10 to like 2, the kids were just coding and they had bowls of sweets which kept them
really hyperactive.
But they were, what made it really good was that the parents were there too, and there was a lot of volunteers to support around as well, and it was just a very good environment, and just seeing them get support and build and then just be making things, it's just, yeah, it was really good.
And is that like an annual event or?
I think it takes place every term. But I don't know too much about it in terms of how frequently it is.
Okay, wonderful. Kids here, are they involved in things like Minecraft as well? Or
yeah.
Is that a big thing?
For better or for worse, yes, they are involved in Minecraft.
Why so better or worse? Is it quite all-encompassing?
I suppose it's one of those things, it's one of those fads at the moment, imagine. I'm just waiting until it dies down. I don't know. For me, I think this is my almost like my game habit kicking in. I'm thinking, when I look at Minecraft, I think it just looks like a really, really dated, very blocky based character, but the kids absolutely love it. But again, it's something that has helped them and it's allowed them to really appreciate creating stuff and meeting people. So, you know.
Perfect.
That's its benefits.
I suppose the onus of the podcast episode that I'm looking at the moment is about schools in Hackney, the turnaround story of education in Hackney in the last sort of less than 20 years, and the influx of tech initiatives in the borough. So I talked about Heary's just a minute ago, and you talked about Barclays as well. Are there any other examples where you kind of collaborate with tech initiatives in the borough, or at the moment is it still quite just the day-to-day in the classroom?
Yeah, that kind of thing? To my knowledge, there hasn't been any major collaborations other than the work I've done with Barclays Coder Dojo.
Yep.
We do have one of the people as part of it. He does Code Club in the school. So he's brought some of the expertise and he does a club with the children. I help out with that as well.
Is that like every month or every week?
Every week.
That's fantastic.
Every week. Again, it's another very popular club with the children.
And do you find that boys and girls kind of get into it?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, that's
which
really
is
good.
Fantastic. And I'm actually trying to get more of a push, try and get a bigger ratio of girls than boys, actually. But it's definitely both genders really enthusiastic about it, which is good.
Excellent.
Really good.
So if people are listening on the sort of tech initiative side of things and they were interested to help collaborate with you, is that something that you're interested in?
Absolutely. Thumbs up. Because again, a lot of it, as I was saying before, it's a benefit for me because I'm learning more.
Yeah.
And it's really new in the curriculum. And I'm excited to see it mature and develop as the years goes on. So I want to learn more. Children learn more. I learn from the children. Children learn from adults and family. So, definitely.
Reverse mentoring.
I
love that.
Really good collaboration.
And so if people want to get in contact, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you or
just contact the school? Get my email address on the website as well, but just ask for a computing coordinator or email the school about any type of workshop you want to do and who they should contact. But normally, I'll be really keen on that kind of thing.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And if you enjoyed that, make sure you subscribe to the EdTech podcast on iTunes. Thanks for listening and see you next time.